And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And dear fellow saints, as we go on this journey together of this theme, Thy Will Be Done, and really looking at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed so intensely to his heavenly Father and concluded that prayer with, Thy will be done. And so in this journey through these midweek services, we're going to hear from different historical people of the past in Scripture. And tonight, we hear from Isaac. The son of promise, that's what Dad calls me. The son of promise. You know, according to him, all of God's promises are going to come true, and they will have to come through me. Wow, no pressure on me as a kid, right? But I'm Isaac. But I guess when you become a father at age 100, you're allowed to be a little, I should say, eccentric. Oh, and then laughter. Laughter is what Mom calls me. Yeah, she calls me Laughter. And well, come to think about it, everybody pretty much calls me Laughter because my name Isaac actually means laughter. Well, the way Mom tells the story, she named me Laughter because of the joy when I was born, the joy at finally having a baby at such an advanced age. Can you imagine how excited Mom was? And she laughed. But I've also heard Dad's story, and he tells it just a little differently. And certainly, he reminds me I'm the son of promise to him. But in that, he tells me a little bit more about Mom, that not only did she laugh when I was born out of joy, but can you imagine this? She laughed like a year before I was born. She actually laughed at an angel of the Lord. Can you believe it, my mom? Well, Sarah laughed and laughed at that promise that God would give me a son from her own body. Son, Dad said, never laugh at the promises of God, because God can do the impossible. And I want you all to know that tonight. Your God can do the impossible. Yep, that's what Dad taught me when I was growing up. And so you can call me Isaac, or you can call me Laughter, or you can call me Son of Promise. They're all related. Though I remember a time when they didn't seem related at all. In fact, Dad clung to that son of promise bit, but Mom, boy, sure didn't laugh when she found out later what happened with Dad and me. And you might know that my dad's kind of a big deal in these parts. And not only that, but he's pretty well off as my dad and in this place. And he does get a lot of respect as well. So it wasn't all that crazy or whatever for the old eccentric to decide that we were going on a field trip. Yeah, Dad and I, we get to go on this field trip. And it really was exciting because it was a chance, as Dad said, to go and worship God up in the mountains. And, you know, our neighbors really didn't understand what was going on. And I'm really not sure that Dad quite understood God all the time either. But even when he didn't understand completely, what I can say about Dad is that he trusted. He trusted his God. And so the Almighty God said to my dad, field trip! And we were going to head up to the mountains. So Dad got the donkey, and we packed up the donkey, And I remember being pretty excited about this whole event, this adventure. I get to go with my dad on this. And it must have been pretty special and important because we even had servants that were going to go along with us. And Dad said, you know, we're going to offer a sacrifice up on the mountain. But up on the mountain, there wasn't much kindling. And so Dad said, you know, we're going to have to cut some wood for the sacrifice. And we'll let the donkey haul the wood up for us. And so we packed the firewood and we got the tinder box with the fire in it so that we could light up the wood up on the mountain, and we headed up into the mountain. And then on the third day, Dad stopped everything. And he told the servants that they needed to stay where we stopped. And then I distinctly remember Dad saying this to the servants: wait here with the donkey while I and the boy go a bit further to that peak in the distance. And then this is what really caught me. Then there we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Dad specifically said, we will come back to you. So Dad took the tinderbox and he carried it, and I offered to carry the wood. I was big enough to be able to carry the wood and got a few splinters in my shoulder on the way up, and it was fairly heavy carrying that wood as well. That was a pretty high mountain. Anyway, we were almost there, and then I did the math. Something just didn't seem right. I said, hey, Dad, as we stopped for a breather, I said, you know, we've got the fire, and I see the wood. We've got that. But where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Dad, you forgot the most important part. And Dad just stuck out his chin, and he said, as if he were really trying to convince himself more than me, said, son, God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Well, at that time, it almost sounded like a promise, but a promise he was really working hard to believe when I observed him. Well, we finally got to the place where we were going to put up the altar, and there was a lot of chunks of limestone laying around, and so Dad and I, we gathered them up and piled them together to make an altar for the sacrifice. And then we laid out the wood carefully upon the altar. Everything was going good, and we kind of cradled the wood for the lamb that would be laid on the wood to be burned. And then Dad placed the firebox right next to the limestone. And then Dad turned his face to me. And you know, when he did that, he didn't threaten. He didn't beg. He didn't even really try to explain. But I think he was praying under his breath as he tenderly but firmly tied me hand and foot. And then Dad picked me up and laid me upon the altar. If I had panicked, if Dad would have panicked, I think I would have panicked too. But he just seemed so methodical in everything that he was doing. All I could manage to do was just lay there on the wood. And you know, laying there, I couldn't imagine my own father ending my life like this. And in ending my life, his hopes and his dreams with the future, they were tied up with me and the promise that God had given to him. And I knew what that promise meant to him. Everything I thought I knew suddenly didn't make any sense. And then silently, the ceremonial knife comes out in Dad's hand, and I really felt paralyzed. I couldn't even really watch at that time. And what I saw in his eyes at that moment took away, though, any doubts that I had. What I saw wasn't really fear on his face. Or at least it wasn't only fear. Because I also saw love. And I saw pride. And above all, I saw trust. Dad always put trust in the promise of God at the center of our family life. You know, remember why he moved from way back home? I mean, from a place far away, and he had all of this property and all of these people that worked for him, and God came to him, and God said, field trip! And God took my dad, Abraham, from this land that he had grown up in and done a very prosperous business that he knew so well, and he was going to a place that he didn't know where God was taking him. But Dad went. He trusted. He trusted in God's promises. And that dependence on God's promise is what I saw in his eyes. Even as the blade of the knife was flickering in the sunlight that day and flashing, God could raise the dead if he wanted to, is what my dad knew. I mean, there I was, the son of promise, living proof that the Almighty God could bring out of dead bodies life. But if I died and stayed dead, then God's promise couldn't come true. But you know, Dad, even at this extreme moment, he wasn't willing to accept that. I was born a miracle and a promise, he said, and a God who can bring life from death was a God to be trusted, even when it didn't make sense. Dad trusted God's promise. And you know, I trusted my dad as I looked at that sacrificial knife flashing in the sunlight. And then Dad, he put his hands over my eyes so that I wouldn't be able to see what was going to happen next. But only at the last moment, something incredible happened. God shows up. And God cries out to Abraham through the voice of the angel of the Lord, Abraham, Abraham. And you know, that voice still echoes in my mind and my dreams to this very day. And Dad says, here I am. And just like always, God speaks, my dad listens. That's just the way it is. But this time I could hear the voice too. And the angel of the Lord continued to speak to my dad, and he said, don't lay a hand on the boy. I have seen, and now I know that you trust me above all else, since you were willing to give me your son, your only son. Wow. He fully intended to kill me that day, thinking and hoping and trusting that God would raise the dead in order to keep his promises. Remember, he told the servants, we will come back. And Dad knew exactly what he was doing. But for the entire trip, 3 long days. Can you imagine what that was like for my dad? Knowing what was going to happen up on the mountain? I seemed dead to him already. And now he had me. Back to life again. It's as though I had risen from the dead. And then Dad looks up, and guess what he finds? There's a ram that's caught in a thorn bush. I told you, he laughed, the Lord will provide. And there it was, the sacrifice. And you know, that's been the name of that mountain ever since, the Lord will provide. In fact, we even have a family saying, and I share it with my kids and my grandkids, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So Dad cut me loose. We put the sacrifice on the altar, on my altar, and there was the indentation of my body and the wood on the altar, and we placed the ram in that indentation, and I watched the smoke rise to heaven. I couldn't think helping, help thinking that I have a God of promise. A God of promise. A God that provided a substitute in my place. Incredible. My God can truly do the impossible. And by the way, your God is my God, and your God can do the impossible. And he has. Now, what you may be thinking tonight, how could God do this? It seems cruel. It seems unfair that God would have ever asked my dad to do this. But before you go too far in that thinking, do you realize that that's exactly what God has done? That our Heavenly Father gave his only Son to be a sacrifice for us and for the world. But there was no substitute provided for Jesus. But he died for you and for me and for all people. But we know the good news that he rose again and he lives. God is the God of seemingly impossible promises, and he does provide. He has provided for you and me the security of everlasting life. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.